Have you ever looked into the ocean and wondered what's going on? Well, joining me now is oceanographer Dr. Amy Bauer, senior scientist at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute. Hello, Amy.
Hello.
What is oceanography?
Oceanography is the study of the oceans, and there are many aspects to oceanography. Most people think of fish and sharks and whales and scuba diving and Jacques Cousteau, but there are actually many other subjects that make up oceanography, including physical oceanography. That's my area of specialty, and that's the study of ocean currents.
And how important are the oceans to our climate?
Oh, extremely important. Because the sea water in general has a very high heat capacity, there's a huge amount of Earth's energy is stored in the ocean. And it seems pretty quiet most of the time, but in fact, that heat storage in the ocean is a big part of what keeps our climate as it is.
Now, you're a leader in your field, but you have visual impairment. You're registered blind. Now, I believe your visual impairment started in your 20s.
That's right.
How has that impacted on the work that you do?
It's a pretty significant impact, but through the use of adaptive technology, I've been able to maintain my position and advance normally through the ranks, so that now I'm a senior scientist, which is the equivalent of a full professor at a university, although I do mainly research and only a bit of teaching. I still have some vision, so I use magnification for viewing graphics. And then I use the screen readers and also magnification on the computer screen for using the computer. And the computer is really the source of almost all my information and reading. So the computer and access to the computer has been a huge advance. Without that, it would have been difficult to maintain my position.
You actually go out on expeditions as well, don't you?
I do. I go to sea on research vessels from anywhere from a few days to a few weeks at a time. The last one I did was just in September of this year, and I went to the Labrador Sea, which is between Greenland and Labrador, Canada. And that trip was about 10 days.
How do people react to you when they realize that you are registered blind? Do they find it, think it's unusual that you're in such a visual science?
Yes, I think at first they're a bit surprised. If the public sometimes doesn't even quite understand, maybe, the quandary there, but my fellow scientists certainly do. But especially those closest to me know that I have access to this adaptive technology, and that's what makes it possible. But I must say, overall, reactions have been nothing really short of encouraging. Rather than discouraging. I felt always a tremendous amount of support from my colleagues for what I'm trying to do.
Now, you're doing work with the Perkins School for the Blind, which is one of the oldest organizations in the United States for the blind. Tell us a bit about this.
Sure. As part of our research grants that we receive now from the U.S. government, we're expected to participate in some kind of outreach activity. And it can be of our own choosing. So I decided that I might have something special to offer to students at Perkins School for the Blind, being a blind scientist. And I wanted to introduce them to science in general, oceanography specifically, and also to the idea that they too could be in the scientific field if that was something they enjoyed. So I teamed up with a Perkins teacher, a science teacher, Kate Frazier. And we've been developing a program for middle and high school students. It involves visits, a lot of just talking with classes and explaining what I do and how I do it and answering their questions. And field trips, they're located about an hour and a half drive from here, so they've come in buses, the field trips, and I show them around the institution, including tours on ships that are at the dock. That's a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out on a small boat right out of Woods Hole on Cape Cod here where the institution is located to do some hands-on oceanography, pulling up lobster traps and measuring the water temperature and things like that. We did that together. But when I was on the expedition recently, Kate Frazier came with us, and we had a lot of interaction with the students while we were on the cruise. through a website and also by telephone.
Now, you've experienced, obviously, a number of years with visual impairment. Would you say things have really improved now in the technology that it would encourage children to get involved with, you know, sciences like your own?
Absolutely, yep. And I encourage all young people to become as fluent as possible in the use of computers, because through them, they can accomplish so much in the visual world. And without it, it's quite difficult. I mean, Braille skills are very important also, but the computer with the speech technology, I think, is a real breakthrough.
And what are your immediate plans now? When's your next expedition?
The next expedition will most likely be about a year from now in the Red Sea, of all places. We are starting a partnership with a new university in Saudi Arabia to do research on the coral reefs and the surrounding waters in the Red Sea. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'd like to go on far-flung expeditions.
Do you hope to involve some youngsters with that expedition as well?
Yes, certainly. Through the website, we can keep the students up to date on the daily activities and be in contact by phone again. And those phone calls are actually quite simple. We use voice over IP technology for that because the ship has a live internet connection at all times. So that's quite straightforward, actually. And their website will have maps and a lot of text that the students can read with their screen readers. The teachers are taking the maps off the website and making them into tactile form for the students.
Well, much work to be done, Dr. Bauer. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us on Insight Radio.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.